Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. Do not adjust your podcast. You are hearing the correct show today. We know we've brought you a production of this particular play before, but today we've got another version of it and three wonderful artists bringing it to life. Joining us, we have the producer and actor Togar Hansen, the producer and director Alice Camerata, and the actor Connor Wilson, who are here to talk to us about their production of No Exit. It's playing May 31st through June 9th at the New Box Theater, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting tinyurl.com/nightcook or by emailing info@jmichaelsart.com. This is a very fun and dark and wonderful show. We can't wait to bring you more about it, and especially this particular version being done by these three artists. So let's go ahead and welcome on our guests. Togar, Alice, Connor, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you so much for having us.
I'm so happy you're all here. I can't wait to dive into this production. This is so exciting. So Togar, why don't we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about what No Exit is about?
Absolutely. It's about hell. That's obviously very succinct, but I think a pretty apt description. You know, I'm not the expert on Jean-Paul Sartre, but he is, as far as I know, you know, one of the more famous, if not the most famous, existentialist philosopher who plied their trade in sort of early to middle part of the 20th century. His longtime partner was another practitioner in that realm, Simone de Beauvoir. But I didn't even know he was a playwright. I studied him a little tiny bit in college, and you know, I don't necessarily have the super rich theater background. It's been gaining in recent years for sure. But I didn't know he was a playwright. I had heard of No Exit, but I just kind of didn't put two and two together. As far as I know, it's his most famous play, and it's been an absolute blast to kind of sink our teeth into and explore during these last several weeks of rehearsals. So yeah, it takes place in hell. It's about three characters. It's about three people who are at intervals escorted into the very plain room that they will spend eternity in from then on. I play the valet who escorts them in turns, and these three strangers damned to the afterlife get to know each other over the course of the 90 or so minutes that the play unfolds.
Very cool, very fun, very dark. So I want to jump to you, Alice, as the not only the producer, but the director. I'm curious to know, how did you come upon this piece and select to do this piece?
So I have always loved No Exit. I was actually in it in high school. I played Inez. But when I was in high school, we did a very reduced version of it. I think our version was only 30 minutes long. And most of the stuff that really makes you think was cut out of it. So I've always wanted to do the full production of it. This idea of what is hell? How do we create hell for other people? What is hell for us? Has always been a very interesting question for me. So when Togar approached me and he was like, hey, let's do a show together. What do you want to do? This was the first one on my mind. I've pitched the idea of doing No Exit to several producers, and most of them have said no. Cast size is too small or whatever. But when he asked, I was like, this is the show I want to do. And yeah, I'm really happy that we were able to make this show happen.
Wonderful. Connor, what about you? You're another actor in this piece. How did you come upon the piece?
I had worked with Alice on a play I'd worked on before, and she had reached out after that play had wrapped and asked if I wanted to be a part of this, which I always enjoyed working with Alice. I was like, absolutely, yes. She sent me the play. I got to read it and kind of got fascinated with the idea of, you know, these three people being strategically placed in this environment, which obviously they can't leave, but in an environment specifically designed to, you know, get under each other's skin. I think that's a really cool concept, down to such minute details as, you know, race, gender, personality traits. Imagine being stuck in a room with somebody who's specifically tailor-made to piss you off in a certain way or in subtle ways. And I think that's it's an interesting thing to watch on stage. And it was beautifully written, a lot of psychological details in it. So that's kind of how I came upon it and fell into the story and involved.
Fantastic. Not necessarily the great idea about, you know, that version of hell, but all the same. Alice, I'd love to know, as we are vastly approaching, just hurtling into the first preview, what has it been like developing the piece?
So this show has been so fun to work on. The four actors in this piece have all been great. Most of them I've worked with before. So like Connor said, I was able to invite them to do this show. Basically, what we started with was just like, what are their impulses? And we built it from there, letting the story unfold, I enjoy working with actors and guiding what they want to do instead of just dictating what has to happen, where the things have to be. Because quite often somebody will like improvise or come up with something in the moment and I'll go, yes, that's great. And it brings a whole bunch more ideas into it. Like if they bring an idea, somebody else will as well. And I'm able to guide those choices to create this storyline.
Wonderful. Toga, I'd love to ask you that same question because you're wearing two hats. You're producing the show and you're also playing a role in the piece. What's it been like developing?
Fascinating and novel experience for sure. This, I have a couple of producer credits, you know, on my CV to date prior to this, but they're really, you know, both of those were really more executive producer capacities, which is to say I threw some money towards a couple of projects and was involved as an actor actually both times there as well. So all of my producing experience so far is the sort of two hats variety where I'm appearing in the show and then I'm also in a producer role. But this is the first time that I'm really engaging in kind of the hands-on day-to-day work of producing. And like I said, that has been utterly fascinating, not frustrating or intimidating at all, but definitely a little bit of a reality check in that it's like, oh, wow, like I could work 24/7 on this and there would still be things that I feel like, oh, shit, I still got to, you know, blah, 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 blah. It really is. I mean, I guess it kind of goes with the territory of being literally invested in something, not just financially, but just kind of spiritually, where you do really have that notion of I could spend all of my time doing this and I still might feel like I'm missing something. Ultimately, you know, I have a tiny bit of a corporate background. Ultimately, what the producing side of things has reminded me of is project management. And, you know, I didn't go to school for that. I was never necessarily all that interested in that sort of thing. But again, having kind of been in enough corporate environments through the years, that's definitely what it, you know, how I've experienced it. And it's been, again, not really surprising, but just thoroughly, thoroughly engaging. From an acting standpoint, I have a tiny role in this play. I mean, I don't want to, like, it's not really too much of a spoiler alert to say that you don't see my character much beyond the first, well, really at all, beyond the first, like, 15 minutes of the play. That, in its own way, has been kind of a blessing because of how much kind of mental energy has been taken up by you know, the producer hat.
That is fantastic. What wonderful development there. And I love the way you defined your character. You know, I mean, I think you are pivotal in this. You're the one showing them around, you know, putting them in their own personalized experience, if you will. Now, let me ask y'all, what is the message or thought you hope that audiences will take away from this production of No Exit? And Alice, I want to start first with you as the director.
So there's this great line in the show. Everybody who has heard of No Exit has heard this line, hell is other people. And I think a lot about that line and specifically what is the purpose of the show. And for me, the question is, how do we create hell for other people? And how do other people create hell for us? Hell is not necessarily where you go when you die. Hell can be right here on earth. People live in hell every day. And the more we become obsessed with ourselves, the less we care about others, the more we create hell for not just the people in our immediate vicinity, but for the people like in the world. And if we can ask that question, how do we create hell? How do other people create hell for us? If we can ask that question, maybe we will lessen hell. Ask yourself constantly, like, what am I doing right now that creates hell for somebody else? And maybe stop or maybe figure out a way to create it differently or change it up.
I really like that. That is such a fantastic answer. Connor, how about you? As one of the actors in the show, what's the message or thought you're hoping audiences take away?
Me personally, I usually, as an actor especially, I try to stay away from the idea that there's something I want them to leave with, because then for me, I feel like I might lean too heavily into playing at a certain thing, and that might, you know, give them an indication of where I want the story to go. I'd rather just act and let them take away whatever they take away from it. Now, obviously, the themes are going to guide them. There's, you know, take your pick. There's themes of existentialism, religion, philosophy, and even in my own personal, like, I've read this now probably like, I don't know, 15 times, and you know, I'm still seeing things and picking up things. Just recently when I was reading, I thought there's an interesting idea for my character that he's the first one to enter in. He's let in by the valet. And when he's left alone in there, when the valet leaves him, he really doesn't, at least from an audience perspective, you don't see him really do anything. You don't really know anything about him. And then when the other person enters in, that's when he becomes animated. That's when he starts speaking and moving around. You can understand like who he is and where his mentality is. And this idea that we as human beings don't necessarily exist until we're perceived by other people. Everything that's happening internally for him is informing him of who he is, but it's all the external stuff that's actually telling the story of what he's really about. And I think that's really cool, because as much as they admonish like this idea that Alice said that hell is other people, they really do need each other in order to exist, in order to tell themselves who they are. So yeah, I would say in a very long-winded way that whatever they take, I think has value and merit, and I would be happy with any of those things.
That is such a sublime answer. I love it. And it brings me to my final question for this first part, which, Togar, I'm going to ask you, and that is, who do you hope have access to this production of No Exit?
The world and beyond. You know, I hope everybody comes out to see it. You know what, though? It's just, to be very, very technical about things, it's worth mentioning that the theater in which we're performing, the New Box, is not accessible to, you know, it's not wheelchair accessible. It's one of these 100-some-odd-year-old buildings with no trace of an elevator. They are nice wide stairs, but you got to go up 3 flights of them to get to the theater. It's in the John Dishotel Acting Studio at 754 9th Avenue, right there in Hell's Kitchen, between 50th and 51st Streets. But again, old building, no elevator. And so anybody who is, you know, unfortunately confined to a wheelchair or such, they would need a lot of help to get inside. But anyway, just to get that very technical thing out of the way, you know, I wanted to, you know, going back to your previous question, I really wanted to like forcefully agree with things raised by both my colleagues. And, you know, to Alice's point, it's a very kind of universal experience, right? Like, and to the point that you even made in your question, hell is this thing that's been written about ad nauseum. It's been portrayed in all these different kinds of ways, these very like very classic ways, and then also like much more impressionistic ways and whatnot. But ultimately, I think the way that people on an individual basis perceive it is an experience, right? Not a place, but literally a visceral experience, a state of mind, a state of being. And so I think that in its own way is just absolutely universally relatable. We all have these kind of parts of our lives that we dread, right? That whether it's like a, you know, particular family relations, whether it's, you know, something related to work, whatever the case may be, we all have these kind of compartments in our lives that we tread very, very lightly around, if not like do our best to ignore altogether. And so that one could say, you know, it's maybe a little bit trite, but one could say that's the sort of personal hell that everybody experiences. And so because it is such a kind of universally relatable concept, I think that in that respect, the play really does have something for everybody. So, you know, I kind of moonlight in this or that theater community. And certainly anytime I've mentioned that we're doing Sartre, that we're doing No Exit, people are like, oh, that's so great. Oh, people don't do the classics enough. I'm just coming off of an Ibsen production. It's actually the same play that's running on Broadway right now, but we did it in a little black box down in Philadelphia. I am fascinated with sort of the classic canon, and I want to spend as much of the rest of my life as I possibly can, you know, delving deep into that. This is such a prime example of that. I'm so glad, you know, Alice put it forth as you know, the pitch for this project for us to collaborate on, and it's been really a joy to get to know. So again, I think that it's got something for everybody, not necessarily the little kids. They probably get bored to tears because, you know, what little kid wants to spend an hour and a half watching three grown-ups walk around a room and talk to each other, you know? But other than them, I think all are not only welcome, but we'll enjoy themselves.
Well, I will say tickets are only $20. So price-wise, it's very accessible to everybody. These are not your standard New York price tickets. We did want to keep them fairly inexpensive. So yeah, I would say anybody over the age of 16, there's language, there's some sexual situations, there's some thematic stuff. But yeah, anybody who's anywhere close to New York should come check it out.
Well, for the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners the chance to get to know our guests a bit better, pick your brains, if you will. And I want to start by asking all of you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? And Connor, can I start with you on that, please?
Well, in terms of inspiration, and a lot of, to you guys' point, why I like black box theater so much, I remember when I moved to New York, because I'm from Alaska originally, but I moved here about 3 years ago. And after I got out of acting school, I went to see a Broadway show, and it was huge. And it was this big spectacle, and I was all the way up at the balcony, and I was watching this, and I was just enthralled with it. And the special effects were cool, and they were mic'd up, and it was so dramatic. I was like, my God, I love this. This is acting. And then many, many months later, I remember I went to this black box theater, and I saw this production of, and I want to say it was an Ibsen play, actually, over. And I don't even remember anybody around me because I was just so focused in on the actors. When I was in the Broadway show and you're all the way up here, you're wrapped up in the spectacle. And in my opinion, I feel like a lot of times you forget, is the show really good or is it just spectacle? And you're like caught up in the audience cheering and the noise and the beautiful lights and all this stuff. When you get down to black box theater, I fell in love with it because you really do feel like you're peering into somebody's life temporarily. You're really seeing something happen. And that to me is beautiful. And also you give the audience an opportunity to fill in the blanks of their brain, because not only are you more confined in terms of space, but you generally budget because you don't have the same budget as like a major Broadway play. So, I mean, when we have these floating sets, and we have a bit of a floating set in No Exit, you really have audience participation becomes even more paramount, because we're asking you to accept that we are in hell. And I just think that's really cool, because it really lends to audience imagination and involvement. And so for me, I feel like this type of theater, what we're doing with No Exit, is generally what I prefer, just because I can feel like I can invest more, and really it's just a little bit more enjoyable for me. So that's kind of a little bit about what I don't even remember what the question was. That's you know, we're there's an answer somewhere in there for you, I'm sure.
No, that is a great answer to my question. Some wonderful thoughts. I really, really love that. Togar, I want to come to you next. What or who inspires you?
Where does one begin? You know, I'm one of those, I had one of those childhoods, which is not necessarily typical, although it's maybe in this day and age, not the most unusual thing. I didn't like play sports after school or, you know, go hang out at the mall. I went home and I watched like HBO and Showtime, basically ate Haagen-Dazs ice cream. Like I guess you call me, you know, it's ironic because I grew up in Hawaii. You know, it's the most like outdoorsy place you could imagine. I mean, it's just the weather and everything about it lends itself to, you know, it's just natural to be outdoors all the time. And I didn't, my childhood didn't lack for that. But in terms of like an after school routine and just in general, I was fascinated with cinema. I you know, couldn't watch enough movies. And it definitely has influenced my life in a big way. I think I actually spent a couple of years in film school. Like it's a cliche really, but like any, you know, former film school student, certainly obsessed with the likes of Stanley Kubrick. I am massively huge fan of Sidney Lumet. And I only realized just recently that Sidney Lumet was part of the group theater. I learned quite a bit more about the group theater recently than I had ever known, partly because I did a presentation on Clifford Odets recently. And speaking of Odets, he has become one of my absolute guiding lights. My first theater audition as an actor in New York, and we're only going back about like 11, 12 years ago now, but it might have been my first audition, and that was for Waiting for Lefty by Odets. I've been obsessed with that play ever since. It's an absolute dream to whatever. You know, I'd love to direct. I'm definitely not there, but kind of going to keep on working in the weeds to the point where I'll be ready to make that kind of a commitment. But whether it's producing, whether it's playing Agati, which is the role that I auditioned for, or something else as the years go by, maybe like the doctor in the white coat might be a little bit more age appropriate for me or whatever. I'm, like I said, I'm absolutely obsessed with that play, but I recently read Golden Boy and it sings to me as well. And I'm kind of working my way down the list of the Odets canon. Speaking of the group theater, I continue to gain like more and more fascination with them all the time. Been in one musical. It was the second time that Alice and I ever worked together. And that was, well, we'll tell you about that in the future because with any luck, we'll revive it. But, you know, I'm not trained in musical theater whatsoever. I can carry a tune just fine, but I'm definitely into the idea of doing another musical or more. So there's a musical called Johnny Johnson, which was a collaboration between the group theater and Kurt Vile. And so I don't know much about it, but ever since I heard about it a couple of weeks ago, that's another thing I've been kind of like mentally obsessed with. Speaking of Kurt Vile, the Three Penny Opera is an absolute dream. Apparently, the kind of IP when it comes to Kurt Vile is really, really pricey. Like getting the rights to produce anything that he was involved in can be like a little bit prohibitively expensive for like black box theater denizens like us. But I'm gonna keep on, you know, plugging away at that because Three Penny Opera, I mean, I could listen to that soundtrack, you know, all day long. It's, you know, it's just absolutely wonderful. And, you know, subject matter also, you know, it's just dark. It's about blood, you know, like who doesn't love that? And that song, Mac the Knife, you know, that's obviously the classic song from that soundtrack. But, you know, to Connor's point, it's such an unbelievable contrast between like going to a Broadway production and then seeing something in a black box setting. That's just the sheer kind of visceral form of entertainment of seeing anything in a black box theater to me just goes so far. And so, you know, I'd love to make $1 million and be massively successful as an artist and everything, but ultimately I'm not there for that. Ultimately I'm there to just do the work and, you know, get in the weeds and engage in that. And so I'll always prioritize that, you know, as long as I have the ability to do so. And again, hopefully it's some Odets or some more Ibsen or some Chekhov or something new. I mean, I saw an amazing original play by former classmate of mine who, small world, turns out worked with Alice and Connor, a woman named Megan Medley, who had a little one week run of a wonderful play called Without God Is My Lover at Theater for the New City. They had their little 1 week run last week and I saw it. It blew me away. So, you know, hopefully we'll be seeing more of her in that play. But yeah, anything and everything.
I love that. Some amazing names on that list. Thank you for that. Alice, what about you? Who inspires you?
So one of the things that I like to play with when it comes to my theater is I like to look for, how do I phrase? I like to explore the darker sides of humanity. For me, it's very interesting, like, what makes us dark? What makes us evil? Even when you're not like an evil character. So I've always been drawn to theater that explores that like looks at that darker side of humanity. Oddly enough, I also love comedy. Dark comedies are my absolute favorite. Christopher Durang is a favorite playwright of mine. That absolute absurdism that he did. There's a playwright that's based in Pittsburgh, James Michael Schoberg. He runs the Rage of Stage Players, and they do a lot of very dark shows, dark parodies. Some of the first shows that I ever directed, one was Dorothy and Oz, the other one, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, which were very dark versions of those, set into a modern day time. Those are things that I've enjoyed working on. A couple directors that I enjoy their work, Julie Taymor. Everybody knows her from The Lion King on Broadway, of course, but she also directed one of my favorite movies, Titus, which is Titus Andronicus with Anthony Hopkins. She directed Midsummer Night's Dream over at BAM. I love the way that she plays with not just the actors, but the set comes alive. The costumes come alive. And I'm never popular for saying this, but I love Barbara Streisand. Growing up, like seeing the movies that she was in, seeing the things that she directed, hearing her talk about like finding the beauty, the music in all of the movies that she's done. She was always an inspiration for me.
Oh my gosh. My gosh. Like, way to just drop the mic on that one. That's
yeah.
Amazing. And actually, you know what? That leads into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
All right. I got one. You know, we do this for various reasons, right? And for me, I think first and foremost, it's just about that utter and irreplaceable just reality. It's like there's nothing, even though you're playing, right? Playing, there's just nothing more real than basically playing and having it feel real. And so in another prior collaboration, another time that I worked with Alice previously, I played Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. And I was so emotionally connected as Scrooge in all but like one performance that I can think of, that it was just like, at the same, you know, it was in its own way devastating, like an emotional meat grinder, but also like that's when you feel most alive, right? And so that, and then another time where I was not weeping on stage like I was as Scrooge during the Ghost of Christmas Past, I guess it was, right? But actually after, as in a stage combat showcase, did a scene from the play and movie Extremities, which is, speaking of dark, that's like some real, real dark stuff there. And it was a brutal scene that literally involved like violation. And afterwards, the actress and I essentially had like a long, long, long cry. And it was just because of just how powerful it was, I think, to kind of experience that in the moment that we're doing it on stage. And so, yeah, so it's hard to not pick moments like that where, you know, that the emotions are so high that it just leaves you like needing to drink a half a bottle of something basically afterwards, you know, just for balance.
Wow, what a memory. Thank you for that. Who would like to go next?
One theater memory that really sticks out to me actually happened a very long time ago when I was 2.5. And I actually do clearly remember this day. I went to see The Nutcracker for the first time. This was the first live show I had ever seen. I was 2.5. And, you know, it was a long show. It was, I have no idea, like 2 hours long. It was a ballet. My brother and my father, they were fidgeting. My older brother and father, you know, couldn't stay still. They were fidgeting. You know, they wanted to leave. They were, you know, constantly trying to go to the bathroom and whatever. And me, I remember there was a railing in front of me. And I just had my hands on that railing. My chin rested on my hands. And I was staring at it the whole time. I was absolutely obsessed with the magic that was just unfolding in front of me. I had seen TV. I had never seen live theater before. And I remember after the show, or after it finished, I turned to my mom and I said, I'm going to do that. And at 2.5, I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I don't do ballet, but the creation of live theater, it's always fascinated me. It's beautiful because it's, you create this moment and then it's done and it only lives in your memories. And I still have that memory to this day.
That is a wonderful memory. We love a great origin story. That's fantastic. Yes. Connor, bring us home on this. What is your favorite theater memory?
My favorite memory probably, because I've had, you know, so many on both sides, but on stage, it was actually probably a couple of years ago. It was the first play I'd ever done. That's where I met Alice. She was the intimacy coordinator on it. And it was for Cherry Jam, which was an adaptation of Chekhov's Cherry Orchard. And I remember, and this will be a relatable experience. I hope it's a relatable experience for any actor, is we rehearsed it. And I had all my lines. And I'm a big person on, like, knowing the words and everything. I had it all. And then it's finally opening night, and I'm backstage and everything, and we're about to do it. And I felt it all, just the nerves and everything. And I'm like, I do this. I swear I'm a professional, but I can't do this. I legitimately cannot do this. And then I could hear it coming up, like my section where I was supposed to get on stage and say my first line, and just anxiety. And I remember I walk out on stage, I stand up, I say my first line. And then I said something, I think my first line was, no ghosts, what about old teachers? It's a comedic line. People laugh at it. And I'm like, then it's like, oh, they're laughing. Oh, the other actors are here. And like, you, at this point, like, we've been working together for like weeks and weeks. So I was like, oh, I trust these people. Oh, like, this is, we're just living a moment. We're experiencing a story. And all of that went away. And it's just, you know, we're a bunch of people having fun. And to Alice's point, which I do love about theater, it's this tiny moment in history where we're doing this thing. It's not real, but it can feel real. We're doing this thing in this time period as these people. And in that moment, I was definitively like that character. I was the only one who had ever done that performance. And they were the only people who had ever done this. And this is the only time the story's ever been told. And that, for me, that feeling was incredible. And the whole show was just fantastic. That whole run was amazing. But that first show, that feeling of just relief and safety, and you're just allowed to play, it's got to be one of my favorite memories. I'll always remember that.
That is an incredible memory. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you all so much for sharing those fabulous memories with us. As we wrap things up, I would love to know if our listeners would like more information about No Exit or about any of you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
I'm the anti-social media guy, but, you know, got a couple little toe holds here and there. On Instagram, it's Night Cook Studio. So again, that's night like night, not day. Cook like a cook in the kitchen, and studio. And I'm still really new to Instagram anyway. But so if you just search for my name, Toger Hansen, Toeger Hansen, it should come up the same way. That's the Instagram, probably the best bet. Nightcookstudio.com will be live sooner or later. For now, it's under construction.
So I have a website, www.alicecamarota.com. Camarota is spelled C-A-M-A-R-O-T-A. You can also find me on Instagram. It's not very artist-oriented, but hey, you get to see some photos of me and my animals. It's ADCAM_NY. But the best way to get to know us is come see No Exit, opening on May 31st.
That was a good plug.
Here, here.
you can find me on Instagram, and the Instagram is just Connor Ben Wilson, CONNORBENWILSON. I also have a theater company that I'm part of, which is Group C Theater, and it's Group and then C spelled SEE Theater, it's all one word. And then obviously see the show, and if you know you want something more like intimate in person, on the 36th Thursday of every year, I'm in Central Park at 7:05 p.m. and I look up at the stars. So if you happen to be in Central Park on the 36th Thursday of every year at 7:05 p.m., you catch me looking at the stars for like 15, 20 minutes.
Wonderful. Well, Togar, Alice, Connor, thank you all so, so much for taking the time to speak with me and sharing your production of No Exit. This is so wonderful. It's so dark. But really, it's a great show. And I can't wait to see it. This has been lovely. So thank you all so much for your time today.
And thank you. Thank you. So you're such a very, you're a very, very, very gracious host. Really appreciate it.
Thank you all so much.
My pleasure.
My guests today have been the producer and actor Togar Hansen, the producer and director Alice Camerota, and the actor Connor Wilson, all who are part of the upcoming production of No Exit, playing May 31st through June 9th at the New Box Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting tinyurl.com/nightcook or simply send an email to info@jmichaelsarts.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But right now, head on over to either one of those links that we've shared. Get your tickets. Come support this wonderful company, this wonderful group of artists. The show, again, is No Exit, playing May 31st through June 9th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones.
Unwrap your candies.
And keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.